theirs beats Battlestar Galactica.
Nerd! You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Bazinga.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast
and they be slow.
Cool.
And we're recording. All right. Thank you for checking out the Mount Geekmore podcast, your favorite podcast where we talk about, discuss, argue, and come up with your top four favorite pop culture subjects. And today's pop culture subject is the best song covers or your favorite song covers, whichever way you want to say it. I am Larry Science. With me, as usual, is David Ulloa.
Howdy.
And we have Jeff Meekinbing. And we have a special guest, Q, from the Talking Q, from the Talking Geek, from AV.
From everywhere. I'm from everywhere. Hello.
Hello.
I'm from all over the place.
From the Geek Newsy that we just put out yesterday. Everywhere. What's the name of the... It's AV, right?
Yeah. Or is AV, it Artistic Vibes.
Artistic Vibes. Yeah, AV, okay. They're Artistic point. Vibes. Yeah. I felt like I was... You know why? Because I was thinking AV Clap.
Yeah.
I was still thinking about AV Clap. I'm still subscribed, by the way.
Oh, really?
I'm still subscribed. Waiting for the new episode.
I'm going to wait a long time.
So make sure you check out Q's awesome podcast, Talking Geek and or Morbid Curiosity. Those are two separate podcasts, but they are fun. So make sure you guys check that out. We are going to talk about our favorite song covers. This is actually in partnership with a listener pick. A reason why I say partnership is because we had thought about doing this over a year ago. We talked about amongst ourselves about possibly doing a covers that are better than the originals. That was the original thought, and said, oh, that's a good topic. Well, you know, put a pin in that, and then that pin got lost.
Yeah.
And then Rookie, our loyal listener Rookie, hit us up and said, hey man, you guys haven't done a best covers song, a best song covers yet. And we go, fuck, we haven't done that. And we ran it by the group, and everybody was again fell in love with it, and that's a much better topic than covers that are better than the originals.
Yeah.
So thank you, Rookie, for sending us this topic. If you want to hear a topic done on the Mount Geekmore podcast, please hit us up either on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, or email us at mtgeekmore@gmail.com, and everything on social media is mtgeekmore.
You can also stop us at the supermarket and suggest things.
Yes, you could also do that, but that would be kind of creepy because that would be weird.
That's fine. Just, you know, help me pick the right
zucchini.
Yeah.
You see what I did there? I made it a zucchini because you like to suck at the penis. Thank you, Rookie, for hitting us up with that. All right, Dave, how did you make your selections for this song? For this list, I'm sorry.
I made a giant list of covers, and then I just said, I'm picking these. This was one of the hardest mountains I've done.
I agree. I think it's the hardest mountain. Jeff, how did you make your selection?
I had like 20. my number one and my number two were pretty much solidified. I just picked because if not, I would have like chosen like 17 different
solidified mountains. Like in concrete. Concrete, when you mix it up and then you put a giant bat gremlin in it, and then he goes through the sun and he dries Lazig or Goyo on top of it. Solidified.
Just like that.
That's
exactly the train of thought.
Q, what was your train of thought when you were making your selection?
Well, I tried to use your method, that method, and that didn't work. But no, I chose it.
The concrete? You tried to do the concrete method and then mix it in the concrete?
So what I did was I first wrote down all the ones I like, and then I tried to stick to like a genre. Tried to as best as possible, and if I know that I can hear it and listen through it and not change the station, because I have like music ADD, I usually listen to like 30 or 40 seconds of a song and then keep it moving, and then it made my list. So that's kind of how I play.
All right.
I went through a giant list online and I made my first 7 picks and then stopped going through that list because I could not fucking, I was like, I don't know how we're gonna do this. So I literally made like maybe not to exaggerate, I probably picked like 9, and then I was like, this is tough already. I don't want to add any more fucking, so this is gonna be much like the breakup songs where there's so many mountains that could have been done from that one topic.
Yeah.
So I, there's there's no wrong answer. This is the quote unquote problem with music episodes is that there's so much choices. I mean, movies, they have a lot of movies made, but nothing not as like much songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, Dave, what's your hit me with your number four? Hit me with your number four. Ba-da, I said, hit me with your number four.
My number four is classic. God, I love this song so much.
Classic by who?
Respect, Aretha Franklin.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Tell me what. Motherfucker, I know how to spell the song.
How can you not listen to that song and immediately not start like just breaking it down, you know?
Just dang.
Yeah. Originally done by Otis Redding, who I am a huge fan of as well. But as great as Otis Redding is,
I love him on that Jay-Z album. He really was. Otis Redding was in the Jay-Z album.
For
yeah.
real?
Yeah. They did.
Scoffed at you, I shouldn't have.
It was Jay-Z and Kanye's album, and Otis was in a song called Otis, and they actually used his voice. For a song. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. That's scoff crazy. At me some more, buddy.
Yeah. No. I will.
I told you don't know the hippity hoppity.
I do not. I never claimed to.
The hop.
The hip. The hop.
There's something about Aretha's voice. You know, that just gets you, which is great because she's a vocalist.
Pies. I was like, oh man, her pies are amazing. I mean, did you know that story?
No.
She makes holiday pies for Thanksgiving for like the last 2 years. She'll like sell holiday pies, like Aretha Franklin pies, and she makes them. She actually makes them.
Yeah, yeah.
And she fucking, they got so popular that she had to stop taking orders because it was absurd how many pies she was selling.
Yeah.
And like,
didn't they start selling them at Walmart?
Yeah. That's what she said. Like, yeah. She would literally make the fucking pies at Walmart. Not at Walmart, but they were selling them at Walmart. And then, so the last
That's
2 years
insane.
For a holiday season for Thanksgiving and stuff.
But that's awesome.
I thought you were going to say...
I mean, the story checks out.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen Aretha, you know?
Doesn't it look like she knows how to make a fucking pie, though? It does.
Yeah, like, you know, the pies. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, if she came up to you, if it wasn't even Aretha, if it was just a lady that looked like Aretha and goes, I know how to make great pies, I'm like,
you do.
Of course you do.
Just shovel it into my mouth.
Yes.
Because clearly it's doing something right with you. There's an authenticity to her voice, you know? And the way that she sings it, you know, something like Otis is obviously, you know, a little more blues than rhythm, and she's obviously a little more rhythm than blues.
Yeah,
but it works, man. You know, and every single one of these songs on my list fall under the category of I can listen to it and not immediately want to listen to. The original, and I think that's a very good litmus test for whether a cover works or not, and this one just works, man. I mean, everything from the opening, you know, blast of her voice to the end. I mean, so much fucking power, you know, in her voice. She might be the best singer on my mountain.
Okay,
and the only reason why there are songs above it is because I genuinely prefer the song over the artist, but I think of the artists on here, she is
she's bad.
The fucking best. Yeah. She is like the shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Jeff, your number.
So
four.
My number four. It was originally recorded by the Top Notes in 1961.
Ah.
Then it was recorded.
Oh, the TNs, right?
Yeah, and but it didn't become a chart hit until the Isley Brothers covered it.
I love the Isley Brothers,
but. That's not the cover that I picked.
Okay.
Mine is Twist and Shout by the Beatles.
That's fantastic. And by the way, you picked the right one. As much as I love the Isley Brothers, the fucking Beatles, man.
I mean, first off,
fucking whitewashing music. Fine.
Off of Please, Please. I don't know if the Top Notes were black or not. No.
That'd be fucked up if a bunch of white guys caught themselves the Black Notes.
Yeah,
well, pretty fucked up.
The Top Notes.
Oh, I thought you said Black Notes. I was like, what?
You even called them the TNs.
Yeah.
It was off their first.
That's
album.
How I spelled Black. I spelled Black with T's.
It was off their first album, Please Please Me.
Yeah.
It was fun fact about it. It was the last track that they recorded when they had the studio time to do that album.
Mm-hmm.
They only had 15 minutes left of recording time. And George Martin, the producer, left it because he knew it would mess up John Lennon's voice because he was sick
right
at the time. They did it in one take. They recorded the song in one.
By the way, that shit didn't happen anymore.
Right. And they had 15 minutes left, and they threw the song that became amazingly sensation.
Yeah.
There's something about that version. The Isley Brothers one's a lot more soulful, but the Twist and Shout, it's just you. It's like R.E.S.P.C.T. You can just like.
It's so raw.
Yeah, and you hear it, and you just want to get up and dance.
Yeah.
And then like Ferris Bueller, you know, later on.
Oh my God.
You know,
that's where my love for the song, for that version of the song comes from.
When the Beatles Rock Band came out, I thought
it was Ferris Bueller that sang that song the whole time. I don't know the Beatles at all.
Yeah.
From Adam, and I like, you would have put a gun to my head, it would have been like, who fucking sings Twist and Shout? I would have been like, Ferris Bueller. I would have known that I would have been wrong, but I would have been like, that's the best guess I'm going to make, man. I would have never guessed Beatles. I'm not saying, I'm clearly an idiot, but I'm just saying, yeah.
And there was just, you know, it's such a cool song. I played that song on Rock Band on repeat when the Rock Band Beatles songs album thing came out. It was that and My Guitar Gently Weeps were the two songs I just played over.
That is my favorite Beatles song.
My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah, same with me.
That's most people's.
That's my favorite Prince song.
Yeah.
Prince does a version of that song.
Yeah. Is that on your list?
Hush.
But yeah, so Hold. Twist and Shout. I just think it's a cool song. It's catchy. It
pops.
And so,
it just makes you want to go through a parade in Chicago.
Yeah.
It just does.
Right?
Wear a leopard print vest. But yeah, so my number four is Twist
Fuck
and Shout.
Fuck me, Sarah. What?
What?
All right, so I guess it's my turn.
That's what I want to do most. I wasn't saying like fuck you, Mia Sarah. I was saying it makes you want to fuck Mia
Correct.
Sarah.
Yes. Yeah.
I was between two songs for my fourth one, so I'm just gonna knock the other one into honorable mentions later.
I'm between four songs on every pick.
Well, for me, on my number four, it's between two songs, but since that's not allowed, I will drop it. I will choose Joan Jett and the Black Hearts. I Love Rock and Roll.
Fantastic.
That is one of those that I almost didn't know that was a cover. I just thought that was Joan Jett's song until I grew older and I was like, oh, who the hell are the Arrows? Okay. But I'm a sucker for
Wait, Britney didn't sing I Love Rock and Roll?
No, definitely not.
My Actually, God. She did in Crossroads. She did a cover of that song on the Crossroads album.
You know,
I knew that. Mm-hmm. That's why I went, oh my God.
She did a good job on that fucking song. Fuck you.
Okay. All right. Sure. Whatever.
Right, bitch.
You guys can hate her all you want, but she's fucking fab.
No, I was going to say.
I love her. No, Britney Spears is my guilty pleasure. I don't love that song.
But another time. And didn't Kiss do that song too? Baby.
A lot of people did it, but I would. A lot of people have done I Love Rock and Roll, but I think Joan Jett's cover is by far
the definitive version.
Right, exactly. And I think that it's. Most people, if you ask them if that was a cover, they would be like, no, that's Joan Jett's song. It's like, no, it's not. So that was my fourth one. I Love Rock and Roll. Joan Jett was awesome. She was a good forerunner of a band for the female perspective.
No, I disagree.
Oh, well, I know what you're going to say. Yes.
Great.
Great.
She is I don't want to say the greatest, but she is maybe the greatest female.
Why does it have to make a difference whether she's female or not? Why can't she just be a front person?
Because I can think of men that I believe are better as a front person, but she is. Without thinking too much, I'm trying to think right now. I'm running through the fucking annals of my mind, and no, I'm coming up with Joan Jett.
Yeah,
more so than what's her name in the Pips. She's the fucking lead. She's the poor Pips.
That's a great song.
Yeah,
I Love Rock and Roll. It's a
fantastic song. And it was funny that you guys had this topic. My wife sings, and she just had to sing this cover for. So I guess second would be my wife's cover.
There you go.
We're all trying to get play after this podcast.
I got two kids, man. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, whatever. I love that song. I didn't know it was a cover. But then again, I don't know a lot about rock, so that doesn't say anything about it. I didn't know it was a cover. I knew that other people had covered it, but I legitimately would not have. First of all, I didn't know that I didn't know that the version that I listened to is the Joan Jett version, which it is.
Right.
But I didn't know that. And I guess for some reason I confused it with I Want to Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss.
That's Kiss, yeah.
So
yeah,
I thought that. I thought that this one was a Kiss song for some reason. I don't know. I'm clearly showing you how much I'm not a rock person, but I do love that song. I Love Rock and Roll. I thought it's pretty badass. Who did it originally?
The Arrows. The Arrows.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck that is.
She apparently saw them play.
Sido en su casa.
Yeah, she apparently saw them play it in UK and then said stole it. She wanted to do a cover of it, and she didn't even do a cover of it until her second album, and then it was her best selling album.
Her second solo album.
Her second solo album.
She didn't
right.
do it with the Runaways.
No, she didn't do it with the Runaways. Look, Dakota Fanning, Running Wise. Yeah, yeah, that was a good movie.
She's great in everything.
Except for Twilight. She was really shitty in Twilight.
Well, everybody was really shitty in Twilight. It's called Twilight.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen Twilight.
I've seen Twilight. I've seen three of the four. And I'm like, fuck this.
I think I saw three out of the four, too.
I'm going to have my. I'm gonna pull my chick card out for this one. And I'm going to say I watched all of them and read all the books. And
sure.
Put it back away. But there's
nothing wrong with reading the books. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can still. My wife loves the books, adores the books. And which is why she'll tell you she hates the movie so much because they did such a shitty version, the shitty job portraying the amazing books. And again, I'm saying amazing because that's what she says.
Right.
Well,
we know you don't read
it. Yeah, I don't fucking read. But those movies aren't good. I watched the movies, two of the three that I saw, on the premiere night, like fucking Thursday midnight showing. Yeah. And I was like, this is shit though, right? Like, this is fucking like off. And I just watched a third one just to be able to like, oh, I wonder what happens. Like, I was still interested in the story, just the way they portrayed the story was shit.
Right.
And so, I stick by that. They had amazing actors in that. They had amazing actors.
Yeah, they really did.
Cast. not the whole cast, just
no. But in there were some really good actors,
and none of them did a great job because I don't know. I'm gonna blame directing on that.
It is directing.
Robert Pattinson is a genuinely good actor.
I don't know about that. Tampoco. I didn't. I'm talking about the.
Jersey, remember me?
No,
I forgot.
He's
about
actually
it.
Really good in a lot of movies. I will say that it was the switching of directors because even the last and from somebody who read the books and watched the movies and all of that, you could tell the difference in the directing. The second movie was crap. Like there was just the third movie actually.
Well, the second book is also crap.
Yeah. Well, it's the most depressing and emo filled book of all of them.
Yeah. Look, I read all four of the books. I wouldn't call any of them amazing, but I would say that first book was very interesting.
Yeah, well, because it was a new way.
It was a classic
things.
Take on the Romeo and Juliet thing, and as much as the sparkle thing has been lampooned, you know, to ad nauseum, it is an interesting take on the vampire myth. You know,
interesting.
Interesting. Sure. I'm not saying that I prefer it. I'm not saying that it's good.
Yeah, you're also not saying good.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, so that first book had my attention. So I kept reading them. The second one was garbage.
Yeah.
The third one was slightly better than garbage. And the fourth book was maybe as bad as the second one, except for the very last chapter, which I think it's only like two pages. And it's beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. And it doesn't make the rest of the series work. But it's almost like, okay.
I will actually say New Moon book was the New Moon movie. The New Moon movie was better at portraying what they were trying to say in the book that didn't fly well. There were certain cinematic pictures.
Fly.
Like that one.
His vampires.
Now you got it.
Okay.
Like that one scene where they have the character Bella Swan and they're just circling her as like times are changing.
That
and
was showing. An interesting way
that
to do that.
That was a very interesting way.
And to move past a large chunk of the book that just
crap.
Fucking sucked.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So I thought that they did a better job of getting you to the end of the book in the movie than they did in the book. But that's neither here nor there. What's your number four?
I like the fact that to the listeners who didn't hear the geek news, they're like, why the fuck are we talking about Twilight right now? Because you don't know that we talked about Dakota Fanning in Geek Newsy, and that's why it all ties in. But you don't know that because you don't fucking, you're not a true fan, all right? That's what your problem is, personally.
Thanks for listening and subscribe.
So go listen to that now.
I mean, but if you could comment and then, you know, send us a review.
Five star.
All right, so my number four, and again, every cover that you guys mentioned will be better than this cover.
Okay.
Only because, if anything, only because of the artist who's doing this cover that I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
But everything I love everything about the original, and this is the only one on my list that I knew it was a cover while it came out, when it came out, when I listened to it, when I jammed to it, I knew this was a cover. But I loved the original so much that I was like, this is, I don't give a fuck who sings this. This could be a local guy at the local pub singing this shit, and I'll still buy this fucking song. That's how much I love the original song, and I love what this person did. And my number four is Limp Bizkit and Faith.
Oh,
that's a good cover.
That's a good cover.
Yes, but when you talk about Aretha Franklin,
right,
you talk about Joan Jett, and you talk about Limp Bizkit, and then you go, one of these things is not like the other. And I'm conceding to that. But I love this fucking song, mm-hmm, because I love the original so much. It was the only song, like I said, on my list that I knew was a cover while I was listening to it. I'm like, hey, fucking George Michael did this song. And I was like, fuck it. All right. That's all I care. Like, that's all I needed.
Yeah. It's different enough where you can enjoy it without having to compare it to the original.
Yeah, because it's so different,
but it's such a huge hit. It wasn't like they took one of George Michael's B-sides and like, well, I'll make one of these unpopular songs popular for this day and age. They took one of his hugest hits,
yeah,
and they were like, yeah, we'll fucking do it when we're out of DJ scratching in a guitar. And then we're like, well, and then I mean, it's absurd to think that anybody would even attempt making... and it was only like 20 years apart. It wasn't like, oh, 50 years ago. You know, it was like 20 years right apart. They made a cover song of one of the hugest songs of George Michael's career. And
yeah,
to make it their own. I mean,
and his most iconic music video.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, that's fucking definitely
blue that jeans ass. My God.
Those blue jeans. Holy shit. Oh, my God. They held not just his ass, but my heart. it's
dude, that song was fucking catchy as hell, man.
Oh, it's the best, dude. Mm-hmm. Cause it gotta have a faith.
I still yell and scream and jump up and down when yeah that song comes on. Like, yeah, automatic.
I get my tight jeans, put my fucking cowboy boots on, get my leather jacket, and fucking rock out like every like
that any was all on the same.
All my jeans
opening
are tight jeans because I haven't
on the same album.
I haven't gone a size up yet, and I have to.
Any shit, right?
What?
That was on the same album. That at the same time that they came out with...
That was off of $3 Bill?
$3 Bill, y'all. Yeah. But like Rolling and all that stuff was the next album.
Was the next album, and then that was the end of Chocolate Starfish, right?
No,
there was one before Chocolate that. Starfish is Rolling.
That's the third one, isn't it?
Yeah. Rolling is off of Chocolate Starfish.
Yeah, because it says it in the beginning of the song, Chocolate Starfish yeah and the hot dog flavored water. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that's how Rolling starts. I know because I bought that song a month ago.
Really? A month ago?
Or you could seriously just do Apple Music.
No, I love that album. I don't care.
Some of us don't have Wi-Fi at our point in times of every day of our lives.
You know,
Jeffrey,
you can download them to the phone and you don't have to.
You know what? I did not know that. I appreciate you telling me this information. Don't tell me how to live my life. No, but thank you for that information.
That is a good pick, dude.
Yeah.
It is a good pick.
Oh, I never doubted that it wasn't a good pick. My disclaimer was, by far, is it the weakest singer of the ones going to be mentioned today? Because I know from the saw sampling of number fours, you know, again, you talk about, look at who you're talking about. You're talking about, who do we have here? We had Aretha Franklin, we had the Beatles, and we had Joan Jett. And Limp Bizkit is like, I was like, that's clearly.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, I never doubted that it was a good pick and or a great song, phenomenal song. However, I did concede, you know, compared to all these other singers, it's not going to be the brightest tool in the shed there. Faith.
Where is Fred Durst?
Rehab?
Probably.
Yeah.
No, he was an he played a bit role in one episode of House once.
Did he?
A bartender, yeah.
Huh.
And I remember seeing him and I was like, that's fucking Fred Durst. He's fat now.
Oh my
right?
God.
Is he?
Yeah. I finally for the people that in the Geek Newsy.
Yeah, Geek Newsy.
I finally showed the picture.
Yeah.
Of the Sarah Michelle.
I think that's an edited version, bro.
Yeah, that's the edited version.
No, because she's her hand's in the picture holding it up.
No, look at the line. There's a clear line right there. That's the edited version.
Wow.
That's the edited version.
Maybe for a fact,
that's the edited version. There's a clear line
where you had to, guys, just go listen to the newsies and then they'll post the picture on one of your places and then you can go figure out what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah. Faith by Limp
Bizkit. I thought you were going to show me where Fred Durst was.
that's what I thought he was showing you.
Yeah,
too.
I was like, oh, okay, where is he?
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. All right. Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na. All right, so number threes.
Number three.
My number three is, by all accounts, the song that created Eric Clapton, and it's Crossroads.
Awesome song.
Bone Thugs?
Uh-huh.
By Bone Thugs?
Yeah.
See you at the crossroads, crossroads.
You didn't know Eric Clapton was the first one to do that?
I didn't know.
My favorite is when he goes, bom, 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 for no reason. Clap, 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 clap.
Originally by Robert Johnson, an American. What the British were doing in the really early 60s.
Who did the
Cream.
No, who did
the original
cover?
Cream. Yeah.
Okay.
What the British were doing in the really early 60s was basically taking American blues, traditional American blues, and electrifying it, speeding it up, playing it through distorted guitars and amplifiers, and you know that's how the British invasion is born, right? And so Cream records this live version of Crossroads, mm-hmm. and Eric Clapton is just wailing the entire yep. time, and he's singing, and he's not the lead vocalist of Cream. That was Robert Bruce, the bass player. And so he sings this song, he plays the lead guitar on it, and this is some of the finest electric guitar playing that you will ever hear. The solos just
from
rip.
Whom?
Cream.
From Clapton?
Clapton was the guitarist in Cream.
Is he a good guitarist?
Well...
You just said that. You're like some of the finest. Yeah, it's fucking Clapton. Yeah, of course it's going to be some of the finest guitar playing. Yeah.
Not that's... sure if trolling or go fuck
right,
yourself.
Yeah. I never know with him, which is why I always approach everything as if he's
like,
asking
are you
genuinely.
For real,
you do the Futurama Fry thing.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
The really interesting thing about his what makes this song for me is his guitar playing, because the vocals are fine, the vocals are great, you know, but that's not why you listen to Crossroads. You listen to Crossroads for the guitar solos. And someone asked him in an interview once, they were like, how ingenious of you to, instead of playing on the twos and fours, right, so the downbeats, right, you accented the ones and the threes, you know, so you're playing on that upbeat. And they said, what inspired you to do that? And he looked at the guy and he said,
heroin.
That would have been a great answer.
I promise you that played a fucking role that he may not have said, but he was like, heroin. I did all my fucking amazing guitar playing on heroin. That's
he said, I couldn't hear anything.
So he just played when he played.
He said, I played what I played. I tried to play, you know, on beat. He says, Ginger Baker's one of the loudest drummers of all time. You know, Robert Bruce has, you know, an amplifier stack equal to mine. And he's playing bass.
11.
You know, and yeah, these go to 11. He's like, I couldn't hear anything. And I just played. He says, okay. So when I heard it back, I thought, I fucked up. I'm playing the solo on the wrong time, and what everyone else heard was brilliance, you know. And so to this day, that's the way that he plays it.
That's
and
cool.
So it's so incredible. The song's about selling your soul to the devil for the ability to play guitar, you know. So
isn't that A Devil Went Down to Georgia?
That's
pretty much
that's
devil.
For fiddle. Yeah,
yeah, it's
that's
the fucking same thing.
The Robert Johnson
is a cover of a theft.
Yeah,
what the fuck this is? Holy shit!
Robert Johnson is the prototype for basically all of classic rock, because what these English guys were doing were taking primarily his songs and electrifying them, and then, you know, guys like Muddy Waters and B.B. King and Buddy Guy and all these blues guitar players that came about in the 1930s and the 1940s, they were all influenced by him too, and they were covering his songs, you know. So when the English guys start doing it, which is I don't know that you can say it's better, but it's different and it's louder and it's newer. I tend to prefer it, you know. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy good, you know. Modern guitar playing starts with England in the early 1960s, and it, I don't know that it gets better than Eric Clapton and Crossroads. I do know that it gets better, and I'm going to talk about it soon.
Ooh, I was going to say, I take that back. We did a lead guitarist one, and Eric Clapton was not your number one. It clearly gets better.
No, he wasn't my number one.
Exactly.
Right.
So it clearly gets better.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't heard that episode, but whatever.
But if I had to choose an example of 1960s rock and roll guitar playing, this might be it.
Okay. Daoying.
Yeah.
Daoying.
All right. My number three, it's from 1998.
Ooh.
It is Turn the Page by Metallica.
Oh, such an awesome song.
Cover of Bob Seger's 1973 version.
Turn the Page by who?
Metallica. Off Garage Inc.
Yeah.
The song.
I don't know the song. Just,
me neither.
This is the first song on the list that I don't know.
Oh, man. This song is awesome. And I think that you, in particular, Neri, can appreciate it because it's about life on the road.
Okay.
And though obviously...
About food?
You're
the amount of food that you eat?
You're obviously not a, you know, a musician, but you can appreciate life on the road.
This song is amazing. This is Metallica?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was almost like surprised that this didn't start off with some crazy...
This was after they kind of like softened up and went a little more classic rock instead of straight metal,
right?
In the 90s.
I like this.
This is awesome.
This sounds like this almost song and thought it was Metallica's.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's probably what I thought. Whoever band is singing. I was gonna say it can't be Metallica. It doesn't get a little bit.
The original has horns playing what Kirk Hammett is playing on his guitar. Yeah.
And what happened was Lars came across the song and he was like, he heard it and he goes, this is James Hetfield's voice. And he was like, he told me like, we need to record this. And they recorded it and it still has the same feel as the original, but it's got that extra little kick from Metallica. Yeah. And James Hetfield's voice with that deep, just like guttural voice just brings it out so much more. I fucking love this cover. And... It's
yeah, it sounds really good. That does
yeah. It's not your typical Metallica song.
I'm trying to think of who it sounds like. I'm trying to think of who I know.
That's not your typical Metallica album either. And in fact, because it's a double album.
Yeah, Garage Inc. Yeah.
The first disc, which this one is off of, is track 4. I remember. I've heard it a lot.
Wow.
has a lot of like these kind of like
impressed, and at the same time, you could say any track, and I'd believe you because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know it enough.
But I do believe that it's it. But
when Naked Vengeance hits the road, we always put this on. As we're getting on the highway, because like
more so than Life is a Highway,
by Rascal Flatts.
I want to ride it.
All night long.
Oh, that's a cover.
It is.
It speaks to you if you've ever had to leave your family for work. It's it's bittersweet. You know, mm-hmm. and in particular, being in a rock band, you know, because he talks about, that second verse is the one that really speaks to me. You walk into a restaurant strung out from the road. You feel the eyes upon you as you shake off the cold. You pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. And then you understand why, because he explains it immediately after that. Sometimes you can hear him talk. Other times you can't. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man?
Mm-hmm.
And I my hair is cut short now because I, you know, work for the man. But
sell out.
I my hair was like Little Mermaid length. Like I got out of the shower and you couldn't see my nipples. You know, we'd walk into some of these like 24-hour diners and you know like some you know some fucking city, some town somewhere, and it's like you feel people looking at you. You understand, you know, the fucking, you know, what exactly he's talking. This song is so awesome.
Yep.
You know, that's a great. That's a great
number
pick,
three.
Man.
But yeah, awesome. Turn the Page by Metallica.
All right.
I'm glad two people like it now.
I'm gonna. Yeah, and I'm actually usually not. I don't dislike Metallica. It's too rocky for me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Too metal.
Too metal.
Yeah.
I like alternative rock. Mm-hmm. I can appreciate Metallica for the band that they are and the music that they play and how well composed everything is.
Yeah.
Just not my cup of tea. Like I can listen to like one or two songs, but once it gets too much, it's just too much.
I only like Metallica when I get it from Napster.
That's a callback to
definitely, I would listen to those three albums though. Load, Reload, and Garage Incorporated are very different.
Nascabetti?
What's that?
Nascabetti? The spaghetti.
Spaghetti?
Yeah, don't they have spaghetti meatballs? What is that? Or like, is that Guns N' Roses?
Guns N' Roses has the Spaghetti Incident.
Spaghetti Incident.
Yeah. That's a good one. Right. That's actually all covers.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, so I will go with my third, which is probably going to be different than what I've noticed is happening here.
That we're going with good songs?
Yeah. Like, I love this song.
We're not saying love. And good are two separate things.
Oh, no. This song I love. Like, this song, if I hear it on the radio, if I hear it in a club, I'm dancing and I'm going for it.
You go to clubs still?
No. I go to bars.
I was going to say, how fucking old are you?
I'm not going to clubs. I'm too old.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Club Gamma. That's where I go on Saturday nights.
Yeah, but
Century,
I mean, if I hear
Village
it,
has a mean bingo night.
Oh, do they?
But it's at 7 o'clock. Yeah.
No, it's perfect.
Seven.
It's perfect.
Get home just in time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a song that actually the original artist tried releasing this song twice, okay, and it failed.
Okay.
First time in the 60s, and then later on a few years later, and it's still in the 70s, 10 years later, and it didn't work. And that is Tainted Love.
Oh, okay.
And the cover is Soft Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Table.
Table.
So hold on.
I also have it on my list, but it's higher on my list.
Ah.
So we wait. So then we move.
I hold.
Hold. Actually, you know what? It actually is my number three.
If you hear somebody say table, we just hold it off because that means they have it higher.
I apologize.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, I had a third. Which
I just learned that this song was. I literally. An hour ago, 10 minutes before we press record, found out that this was I looked at Dave and I go, this is a cover? And I didn't know. The rest of my list is going to be like that. The only one, Faith, is the only one that I knew. But everything else, I had no idea was a cover. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I was like, no, I thought this was a soft sell song.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but I thought it was originally. And yeah, go ahead.
Gloria Jones is the original artist.
Bien conocida en su casa.
Yeah, and only in her house.
The bonus, like, what the fuck, man?
I'm a big retro freestyle fan. I love all of that. That's why I said if I hear this song, I'm jamming to it. I'm singing it the whole way. I'm blaring up the music. Like,
that's a great song. Yeah.
And it is one of those songs where you're like, oh, this is just soft sell. Like, this is just who it's supposed to be. And it was one of those that also, when I looked it up, I was like, this is a cover. What the hell? But I think it's a great song.
I want to listen to the originals and see. I mean, I know it's going to, because I'm such a freestyle and retro guy. I mean, I love freestyle music. And so because I know I won't like it as much as the soft soul version, but I'm interested in listening
to
the
original.
Yeah,
I have the YouTube video saved because I'm like, I have to hear this. And especially since it's from the 60s, it's going to be nowhere near what soft soul did to it. And even then, with Tainted Love is just also such a good song that I chose it. Obviously, that's the best version of it, the best cover. Mm-hmm. But it's in a lot of movies. Marilyn Manson did a cover.
A great cover. Yeah.
There's a few people who have done covers of Tainted Love that have equally been good for the genre in which they covered it in.
Right.
But notice what they do. They mimic the soft silver.
Yes, right. They mimic. Yeah. They're covering soft cell, where soft cell was covering Gloria.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's exactly how it works. But Marilyn Manson's cover was
Gloria.
A good cover.
You're on a first name basis.
I'm on a first name basis. Okay, that's cool.
That's cool.
Not a lot of people know her. Right?
that's her abuela.
We gotta get her name out there.
So I chose that. It was a good song and a song that I can listen to anytime it comes on. I'm gonna hear the whole song.
That's a great song. That's an awesome song.
So. That was
I like it.
So now,
what about you, Neri?
I'm glad that somebody else picked it because she went far more in detail than what I knew.
Okay,
I was gonna say I didn't know this song was a cover.
Dude, what's your number two?
It's really cool, man. It's really I really love this fucking song. Like, it's one of those songs that I just like. It's again, I didn't know it was a cover. Not that a cover diminishes a song when I hear it. But I really love this fucking song, man. It is one of those songs where I'm like, oh fuck yes, dude. Like, I don't care where it's playing, I don't care what's. I mean, I've heard it in so many different settings, and I've heard it on cruise ships, I've heard it on at bars, and fuck with anybody. I'm like, this is a great, and I just love that song. There's certain songs that you love, and that I can't even tell you. I'm not even sure I know all the words to the song, but I know the fucking beat.
You
and
know,
I
know, bah, bah.
Yeah,
part.
Yeah, and you're just like, dude, this it's one of the songs. This is what I love about music, and again, it happens with every genre of art, every kind of art, but it's specifically music. I think it ties in it quicker to our emotions than anything else, because a movie you have to sit there and watch and pay attention to every little thing, such as character development, story, but what I love about music is that in 3.5 minutes, which is the average length of a song, in 3.5 minutes it could take you from a range of emotions that you weren't feeling 10 seconds before the song played, and it takes you in that roller coaster, it takes you in that ride. And this song by Soft Cell is one of those, like, I'm just happy.
Right.
Like, I'm now happy. I'm listening to the song and I fucking love it. I'm jamming. It's like, that's how I love listening to this song, because it makes me happy. And it's like one of those undespicable, like, I don't know why I'm happy. Like, this song could come out on the radio and I'm jamming to it. And even after the song ends, I'm like, fucking away. I'm in a better mood than I was. Yeah. Even if I wasn't in a bad mood to begin with, but now I'm just in a better mood. And that's what I love about music. It makes you, it brings you up, it could take you down. You know, we've talked about breakup songs, so we know that feeling. Mm-hmm. But I love this song. That's what it does. The same thing goes for pick. Same thing goes for Faith. It makes me happy. Yeah, I just love this song. So
it works so well in Coneheads.
It does.
Yeah.
Get away. I've got to. Yes. And we talked about this song recently.
We talked about Coneheads.
Yeah, we talked about Coneheads recently, and we talked about
you must not fall like our fuck.
We are from France.
We are from France. So what's your number two, David?
My number two is a cover of a Joan Baez song, and it's Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Led Zeppelin. This has...
Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You?
Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
I don't think I've heard this one.
This is... just some of the most incredible guitar playing... Led Zeppelin.
Led? Okay.
LED. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Zeppelin?
Not all capital, right? Not LED all capital?
No.
Because iPhone wants to make it LED.
Right, like the lights.
Right.
This is some
Zeppelin
of
like the blimps?
Right. This is some of the most impressive guitar playing that you have.
Are you kind of impressed? Ever, I know Zeppelins are blimps. Are you kind of impressed about that?
That was fantastic.
I thought it was pretty decent.
It was good.
Right? Yeah. I didn't learn that until last year.
Really?
No. I'm
what?
I'm actually, I learned that.
I believed it.
I learned that a few years ago. But what made me learn it was watching Fringe, which if you had seen, you would fucking know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but we're going to continue. You're right.
Two summers later, still haven't seen
two summers.
Yes.
I think one summer.
Last summer and this summer.
This summer ain't over yet.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. You're going
to
watch
not
it.
Yeah, this exactly.
You know what? I'm going to make it a fucking episode. I'm going to make it a season on our other podcast that we haven't mentioned, and you're going to have to fucking watch it.
Boom.
Or I can not do the fucking podcast.
No, you're doing
it. No, you're fucking doing the podcast.
Oh, fuck.
All right, go ahead.
I guess that's it. I'm doing
like
it now.
You're going to fucking like it.
So Led Zeppelin?
Yeah. I mean that this is the rest of my mountain is pretty, you know, pretty much the same.
Pretty much David.
Yeah, it's pretty much me. You know, Aretha Franklin was just like, God, that's such a fucking awesome song. But the song is Robert Plant is, we've talked about this before, he doesn't have the prettiest voice. And somehow when his voice is ugly, it works for the song. And this is one of those songs where you can tell the pain in his voice, you know, and again, this is not an original song. This is a cover. I mean, it's been drastically reworked by the incredible Jimmy Page, but like Robert Plant's vocals on this are just fucking incredible. You know, he goes through all these range of emotions, you know, the pain, the heartache, the I don't want to leave you, but I got to leave you sort of thing that's going on in there. And then on top of all of that, you've got Jimmy Page's incredible guitar work. And this is in a time where you got 1, 2, maybe 3 max takes of a guitar solo. Mm. And it was all done in one shot. There was no stop. Let's cut here. Let's combine this part with that part that Pro Tools makes accessible to everyone today. It was, you know, you hit record on a tape machine and it went, you know, and that was it. And when you listen to his playing, it moves you even more than Robert Plant's words, which is the most amazing thing about this song, that he's able to channel such heartache and such pain into a thing that doesn't have words, you know. And you listen to it and your whole body just fucking soars, you know. And this is without having smoked anything. When you do, it is that more. Much better,
right?
You know, it's I'm listening to it now in my mind. This is for me the most iconic guitar sound, like the guitar tone-wise, and now I'm getting into like the specifics of, you know, guitarists and stuff like that. But this tone is so iconic, primarily because no one knows what amplifier he used. He was having a really hard time getting the right tone for this, and he had his favorite guitar, which at the time was a Fender Telecaster. And he couldn't get the right tone. He switched amps a whole bunch of times, and so he slammed the door, went outside of the studio. He found in the hallway of the recording studio a little amplifier, and he was like, "I'm just gonna try this because I'm all out of fucking ideas." And he just plugged the guitar in, and they hit record. And what happened was just fucking magic. And it is this thing where people try to replicate it all the time because no one knows what the fuck it is, you know. So there are pedals, amplifiers, all sorts of different things that people have tried to do to mimic that, and no one can do it. No one knows what the fuck it is. And so he put it back out in the hallway, and it disappeared. Whoever owned it probably took it back home and has no idea that it was used on one of the most iconic Led Zeppelin albums.
That's cool.
And you know, my God, I hear this and I still cry every time I hear it because of how incredible the guitar playing is.
And you're a pussy. So
well, that too. That too.
You cry on a stiff wind.
Something else happens on a stiff wind too.
Which is awkward to get a hard on and cry at the same time.
It happens often. Actually, please don't judge.
Is that awkward?
No. I don't judge.
I don't mean
you.
That in a bad
I'm
way.
I'm awkward. Sorry. What?
Let me pull it up for a second here. Let me excuse me while I whip this out here.
Well, oh yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Where you go?
Here's the opening. Yeah.
Now that I'm hearing that, I know that song.
This is off of their first album, you know? Like, Jimmy Page was not a household name.
Right. Leave you in the summertime.
Leave you when the summer comes rolling. And then it speeds up. Guitar playing so good.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything fancy, you know, it's just him. So yeah, that's since I've Been Loving You. God, I fucking love that song.
That's awesome.
Yeah, God bless Joan Baez for inspiring Led Zeppelin.
I didn't know it was a cover.
Yeah.
Well, I know that I've heard that song before, but it doesn't
really. You never heard that?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't listen to the rocks.
The rocks. He hips.
I was going to say.
You don't listen to good music?
I'll listen to the radioactive blimps. So, you know.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Led Zeppelin.
My number two is originally recorded by Bob Dylan in 1967. And it is...
Well, this whole mountain could be a cover of Bob Dylan songs.
It could.
True.
Because Bob Dylan songs are awful, but they're amazing when other people do them. They are.
I don't think it's that they're awful. You understand what they're saying.
Yeah. Right.
I think,
Rolling Stone. Half his face is falling asleep.
Yeah. It's Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix.
Table, please.
What's it called? Along the what?
All Along the Watchtower. By the Jimi Hendrix
along
Experience.
The Watchtower.
All right.
Said the joke.
I'm glad that's
the
making
thief.
The mountain.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
I'm excited. Okay.
God, so
cute. So
I heard the table. So, okay. This is number two. All right. I'm going to go. This made it to my number two for a few reasons. Because of how many times it's been covered. I think it's worthy to go up in a good spot. Have been a runner of an open mic. I've also seen a million covers of it, so it makes it a good song to cover that everybody's going to do it.
Okay.
And so I'm going to go with Mad World.
Okay.
Ah.
Why have you seen this as open mics?
Mad World, because it's a very simple song for singer-songwriters to do.
Oh, I'm thinking, I'm sorry. I automatically default to comedy.
Yeah, you're like, who the hell? I'm like, what kind of comedian is doing this?
And multiple comedians. You've heard it so many fucking times. You're like, I hear it so often. I'm like, this is the most depressing comedy fucking open mic I've ever heard. It's not a comedy open mic. It's all arts.
All right, open mic. Okay. It's a good cover. It's an easy cover to do, but it's a great song.
It's such a sad song.
It is a sad song. I also do write and I do poetry too, so it's the kind of music I want to listen to when I'm down to write.
Right.
The REM cover of it specifically, I thoroughly enjoy.
So that's how you're going with? REM?
The original band is Tears for Fears is the one that did that song.
I fucking love
Which
Tears.
Is actually still a good, their version is still very good.
Yeah. Tears for Fears is an underrated fucking band.
Yes,
dude.
Yes, they are.
Shout is oh my god,
dude! They are very underrated. Fucking, I there's a lot of shit that I used to listen to, and I go, "Who the fuck is this?" Before Shazam, and used to call radio stations and be like, "Who is this?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Tears for Fears." I'm like, "Tears for Fears? What the fuck are you talking about?" And there's multiple times that happened to me where I would call radio stations and be like, "This is Tears for Fears." I'm like, "These people are this guy's amazing. This Tears guy."
Remember when you had to call radio stations? Do you like Depeche Mode?
Yes.
Fucking no.
Yes.
Oh, Depeche Mode is awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Do I like awesomeness? Yeah. Yeah. Let me think. No. Yeah, I do like awesomeness.
Did we just become best friends?
But that's why I said, like, I mentioned them because their original version is still fantastic. But I really love REM's emo-esque version and making it even more depressing than it already was. It's been used in a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. It's just, for me, it was worthy of a number two spot because of that, because of how many people have covered it that make it such a great song, and you can turn it into a bunch of things, because I've heard it turned poppier. I've heard chicks sing it at AV and it's been poppier, and I'm like, oh, didn't even know that was that song until I walked in. So I would go Mad World, number two.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah,
so depressing.
Yeah, but
he's
I
like,
mean,
oh, my songs make me
it's
happy.
It's so depressing. It's
table
like,
depressingness.
It's really yeah. I was like, okay. And I'm not taking anything
that's
away from
depressing.
The pick. I'm not taking, but you like depressing. In your breakup songs, you went.
No, I went. Fuck you. In my breakup songs.
Yeah, that's right. You did. I went depressing.
Yes,
right? I went with the sadness.
You want me to hold the mirror up?
It's so true.
Because you were even like, God, you have a lot of fuck you songs.
Yeah,
I go,
you have a lot of
yeah,
anger.
Because fuck you and breakups.
If it's a breakup, I'm fuck you.
There's different parts of the breakup, and I just seem to focus on the ones that remind me about why I love this person. that seemed too real.
That did not real for a second.
Pretended to. That at all.
I'm having a tough flippity flappity over here of between number two and number one. So I'm just going to go with one that, again, up until 5 seconds before this podcast, I did not know was a remake and or cover. And I'm going to go with... UB40 and Red Red Wine.
Yeah, we found out this morning that was a cover.
I had no idea.
I just found out right now. Right now? Just found out.
Because we were looking at the list at breakfast and I go,
Dave, fucking UB40 yeah. Red Red Wine's a cover.
Who the
what?
Hell thinks that?
Neil Diamond.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never heard the Neil Diamond version.
Fucking
yeah.
blown.
No, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
And yep. so I found that out 5 seconds before we pressed record, and I was like, well, I'll be damned. That's why I stopped. This was the last song on the list that I actually
I'm like,
look, there's a top, the list on if you Google best cover songs, it's like the third hyperlink where it tells you the 100 best. It's like a list of 100 best covers. And this was literally number 54. And wow. I stopped because I'm like I can't anymore. I can't. There's three of them that I had in my head prior to looking at this list. I came here for one pick and now I got five other ones. And I'm fucking dying. I'm not even, I can't even imagine what number one is. Yeah. I'm not going to bother looking through it because it's going to change my list. So UB40, Red Red Wine, I fucking.
Red Wine. It always reminds me of like summer. And like for yeah. some reason. Like,
really?
Just, yeah. I don't know why. I guess I always heard it. In usually a yeah. bar at the beach, like
yeah,
and
I just seems
like that. I was like a cruise song
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
like, it reminds me of high school because it was like, hey, look, I love you. Like I was a hopeless fucking cheesy romantic, and I was always like red, red, red. Like it was like,
yeah,
it's just I love this song. Again, I can't even tell you. I'm not even sure I would be able to tell you all the words to the song, but damn if I don't know the hook, and damn if I don't know a fucking that beat. That's just the music.
Red, red wine, you make me feel so fine.
We all know that. and I just love I don't know, that song makes me happy. It's like, yeah, this is all right. Red Red Wine, that's cool.
I love that song.
I love that. I like UB40. There's like three of their songs that I don't
know any other songs by UB40.
Yeah, what's the
exactly
Big Brown Eye?
What?
Which Big one? Brown Eye is one of the lyrics, and then I found out that they were talking about the butthole, and
right.
I told
yeah.
them to change.
Well, you just said, and I said, well, that's about a butthole.
Not when I was 9 and singing it, that's not what I knew was going on.
It's not,
definitely not until much later.
UB40 songs.
Which also happened to me with Diamond Girl.
I
used to love Diamond Girl, and then I heard the lyrics much older, and I was like, holy crap.
What the fuck?
What's the problem with Diamond Girl?
You fit right on my finger, I'm so glad to have me and you. That's a thing I was singing at 12 that sweat. I probably shouldn't have been doing. Yeah, that's
what's
all
the
happening.
Problem with that song?
No, there's no problem now. There's no problem now, but like I was listening to that and dancing to it at like Thunder Wheels in like
so
Coochie
I.
Cutters.
God, God, I love
so Thunder Wheels.
Weren't we all?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, were you in Coochie Cutters? I don't know.
Yes, yes. Yes, I was. Falling in Love With You?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God,
that's
a fucking great song.
That's another great song.
Is that a cover? That's not a cover, right?
No, that's not a cover. That's a UB40 song. I hope so.
But apparently that's not their most famous second single.
What's their most famous second
the
single?
The Way You Do The Things You Do.
Oh, yes.
Or Kingston Town.
That one, the that
actually,
one you said
list,
doesn't...
This list, it's interesting. This list has the top 10 UB40 songs, and that one's not on there.
Which one's not on there?
But
because I guess it's because of the cover? Because of cover?
No, but the Red One Wines are number one.
Yeah. And which one's not on the list?
The one you just said. I can't help falling in love with you.
Oh, that's the one I have
song.
On number three. And part of the Sliver soundtrack. Sliver, oh. Anybody? Did anybody watch Sliver?
Yeah.
It was like the, hey, Basic Instinct made sex cool in movie in cinema, so we're going to fucking make Sliver with Alec Baldwin's brother, Billy Baldwin, I think it was.
I don't think I ever saw this.
Yeah, it's super fucking, like, no plot, just fucking all sex. It's fucking great.
See, but Basic Instinct had a plot.
Oh, my God.
Ish.
I want to hear this song.
Ish,
okay,
yeah.
Ish, yeah.
It worked.
It's enough. It was like a fucking giant MacGuffin just to get to the fucking pussy scene. I'm not knocking it. It's fucking great.
I genuinely like that movie. I would even say I really like that movie. Okay. Pussy aside.
I can't take it. I can't take it without the pussy.
I'm such a big Michael Douglas fan.
So am I, but... I can't think of
whatever
floats
your boat.
Yeah, it's like watching Showgirls on fucking on network TV. You go, wow.
Showgirls was horrible. I'm sorry.
Okay, but it had nudity, and I'm okay with it.
Basic Instinct is at least 3 or 4 times the movie Showgirls is.
Dude, Basic Instinct
It also had 3 or 4 times the better actors.
Basic Instinct 2 is 5 times the movie Showgirls is.
Yeah. Basic Instinct wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't bad.
That's what I'm saying.
And she looked... Honestly, for me, looked hotter than she did in the first one.
With the boho seat.
Boho seat. But yeah, I get the hot tub.
Her in the hot tub.
No, get no, out hey, of you're not gonna try to sell me. I'm sold, my friend. I'm sold.
I'm already there.
But you're just overselling at this point. Where you're like, hey, it's got power locks and windows. I'm like, all right, I fucking get it. Every car has power locks and windows.
Listen, you had me at the motor race.
Yeah. Anyways, going back to UB40. Now I really wanna listen to not only Red Rewind but Falling in Love with You. I fucking love Falling in Love with You. That's such a great song. I feel bad now. I feel like I just mentioned a better song from the same group. Falling in Love with You is much a better song than Red Rewind. Even though I do love Red Rewind, it made my number two. I fucking love this list. But yeah, absolutely. UB40. Jesus. All right. IB40. Huh?
So no.
IB40.
All right.
Okay, so honorable mentions.
Wait, hold on. Red.
I think on our personal ones, because I got a few of my personal ones, I have Geekmore too.
I have about three honorable mentions.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
All right. So on mine, Raul Montenegro, he just put Jeff Buckley, Hallelujah, and List. Danny Fermo.
Which was Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So one where he goes, Hallelujah?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Was that on Sing?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Yes, was it?
Okay, I think
no,
so.
No, I don't know. I never saw
something. And then Danny Fermo, who I know listens.
I heard.
Danny Fermo, who I know listens to the podcast, so he obviously did this right. Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, and that's it.
God. Fucking so good. That's why I didn't want to get to number one.
That's on my honorable mention.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to get to number one. I was like, all right, man.
Then Alf Lasare has Obadiah Parker, Hey Ya's cover, which we kind of listened to a little bit.
Which
was
great.
Really good.
Yeah.
Newfound Glory, King of Wishful Thinking. Yeah. I'm glad he put Newfound Glory on there. Nonpoint, In the Air Tonight.
Awesome.
311 Love Song.
Ah, that's another one of my honorable mentions.
And then love song. His honorable mentions are Faith, Fallout Beat It, Fallout Boy Beat It, which that's a good cover.
Yeah.
Shine Down Simple Man, that's a good cover. And Save Ferris, Come On Eileen.
Come on, Eileen.
Yeah.
Simple Man is one of
Pedro Cortez.
Oh.
I can't believe I forgot Simple Man.
That's
I don't know that it would have made my mountain, but fuck.
He has Mansions.
Well, you're a simple man.
He wrote Mansions.
Yeah.
Manson's Tainted Love. I'm sorry. No, you wrote it right, Pedro. Sorry. Johnny Cash is Hurt. Buckley, Hallelujah. And he says, I can't think of a proper force, so I'll just say Disturbed, Sound of Silence, which is I love that cover. That was my ringtone for a while. Chris Esko has Alanis did a cool cover of Seal's Crazy. And Colin Hay's acoustic version of Men at Work's Overkill is awesome. So that's two there. Joey Rodriguez has Johnny Cash Hurt, Disturbed Shout, See Their Careless Whisper. Miguel Santiesteban has Cash Hurt, Buckley Hallelujah, and DMX's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Fact.
That's amazing. Alex Perez, my cousin, has Johnny Cash Hurt, Buckley Hallelujah, Manfred Mann, Blinded by the Light.
Oh, that's such a great song.
And Saint Vincent, She is Beyond Good and Evil.
Wrapped up like a deuce.
Stephanie, do you want to Stephanie Mayer Senior?
Sure.
She put.
Why
she
are you asking? Why are you looking at me?
I don't know if you were going to read or not.
No, she doesn't have hers. I'm only reading my list.
Okay.
The Geekmore list.
She's got Tina Turner, Proud Mary. Amazing. Disturbed, Sound of Silence. Oh, I'm sorry. No. There's a tie between Soft Cell and
Don't
Marilyn
fucking read ties. Don't give her that. Okay. She knows better. She's been on the fucking podcast. Yeah. She knows
number
the
rules. Number two is Disturbed, Sound of Silence. And number one is. But she said. I think she said it better than Luis Diaz. Maybe. No, no.
Luis Diaz is good.
She said, Brudda is Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm hmm.
Honorable mentions, Letters to Cleo, I Want You, Jeff Buckley, Hallelujah, Bjork, It's Oh So Quiet, and Cat Power, Sea of Love. My wife, Christy, she has Chris Cornell, Nothing Compares to You, Metallica, Turn the Page, Save Ferris, Come on Eileen, and Last Kiss by Pearl Jam. And then Geekmore. Carlos Navarrete has Sad Clown, Royals, Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles, Hurt by Johnny Cash, honorable mentions, Nirvana, the
What's
Man
this
Who
Johnny
Sold
Cash
the World.
Everybody keeps talking about?
Nirvana.
Look at Dave's face.
It's that new app.
Yeah.
It's that new app you can download.
You can just sound
on
cash iPhone. To Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the new Bitcoin.
Nirvana, the Man Who Sold the World, that's a great song. Billie Jean by Chris Cornell, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. How do you? I think you pronounce it Jemiah. Is that right?
think you were the one that corrected me last time on this one. Jemiah Leonard.
Who are we talking about? I didn't correct you.
Oh, okay. Jemiah has Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by Al Green, and Hurt by Johnny Cash. Honorable mention, Killing Me Softly. Andres Riano has Johnny Cash Hurt, I Will Always Love You, Along the Watchtower by Hendrix, and Killing Me Softly. Honorable mention, Landslide by
Fleetwood Killing Me Mac. Softly by the Fugees.
The Fugees.
The Fugees. You made it seem as if Jimi Hendrix also did Killing Me Softly.
Oh,
the way you read it, I was like, no, you did. You forgot to talk about the Fugees.
Honorable mention, Landslide by Fleetwood Mac, and Knocking on Heaven's Door, Guns N' Roses.
Fact.
Great.
Rookie. Rookie, because this was his topic, wrote a dissertation.
Mm-hmm. as he should.
Yeah. Number four, Sexy and I Know It by Noah Gunthery. He said, seriously, listen to it. This guy takes a joke song and really makes it something completely awesome. Hasta que te conocí, Mark Anthony.
Bro.
There are no words from Mark Anthony's voice. I wanted to get something in Spanish on my list.
He's not wrong. That song is fucking amazing, dude. Mark Anthony, for as much as it looks like a fucking gecko, holy shit, that the voice on that guy is wow.
Oh, no, yeah.
Wow.
Then number two, he has The Man Who Sold the World by Nirvana. As much as I love Bowie, the original song is fucking garbage. The gap in quality between the original and the cover is so huge, it's unbelievable they're the same song. That says it all.
I like Rookie.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Number one, Sound of Silence by Disturbed. Disturbed made the
Bowie's
song
Bowie's kind of shitty, though. Over Nirvana, I'll take Nirvana.
What the fuck is going on in the world?
I don't know what happened to you today. I don't know what happened. I came in and that's what happened.
Disturbed made this song transcendent.
I get you can't come no more, do you?
I know. Apparently, it's bath on you when I'm here.
I get goosebumps every time I listen to this. The original was good, but this version feels like it sucks you into a world that's about to end. Also, I never knew the guy from Disturbed could actually sing until I heard the song, because you've never listened to Disturbed. Honorable mentions, The Man Who Sold the World by Midge Ure. This is the version from the beginning of Metal Gear Solid 5. Super creepy. Baby Got Back by Jonathan Colton. The Pokemon theme by Scott Bradley's Saturday Morning Slow Jams. Honestly, any of their songs could have gotten an honorable mention.
He wins the most diverse list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He wins. On my Facebook page, Daniel Converse put Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower, and that's it. He made a statue. He didn't. he didn't make a mountain. Stephanie Ulloa of the Mamas and Merlot podcast and the What's Up Bro podcast, and sometimes Juan Geekmore podcast. Number four, Landslide by Dixie Chicks. Number three, Killing Me Softly by the Fugees. Number two, Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, and number one, Hurt by Johnny Cash. Honorable mentions go to Proud Mary by Tina Turner, Joe Crocker with A Little Help from My Friends, and Amy Winehouse and Mark Ronson, Valerie, and Marilyn Manson's Personal Jesus. Stephanie Mayer put, oh, that's a really solid list, to which I responded, yes, she didn't make two picks in a single slot. That's what happens. You get ridiculed for that fucking doing that. You know the rule. You should know better.
Shame.
She didn't even know that reference because she hasn't seen the fucking show.
Oh, you fucking bitch.
I need to have Q here more often. John Evans put Joe Crocker, Little Help from My Friends, Whitney Houston's Always Love You, Twist and Shout by the Beatles, and Jimi Hendrix, Hell Yeah. And Luis Diaz has my favorite list, which I didn't even get to number four, but I'll read them from 4-1. Four, Tamara Gray, A House Is Not a Home. Number three, Michael Bublé and anything he's done. Now, he didn't put that. He put Mr. and Mrs. Jones, but Michael Bublé only does covers. So.
Isn't it Me and Mrs. Jones?
That's what he put, Me and Mrs. Jones.
Because you said Mr. and Mrs.
Jones. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my fault, not Lewis's. Number two is Aerosmith, Come Together, which I didn't know that was a Beatles song.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a Beatles song. Well, and so maybe, I don't know anything about Beatles.
Come Together.
But I probably learned that. If I'm gonna be honest, probably around 10 years ago. I'm 35. I should have known that earlier. And number one is Over the Rainbow by, quote, the Fat Hawaiian Guy. He's not wrong. I'm both the list and
that pick
the description.
That's a great.
Yeah. I fucking love that song.
It's actually, we found out today, it's a blend of two songs.
It's a blend of two songs.
Because it's What a Wonderful World and Over the Rainbow. Mm. It's both of them.
All right, so
our honorable mentions, Dave.
My honorable mentions.
Awesome.
All right, Q.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've got Hurt, Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. I've got Boys of Summer, the Ataris.
Great song.
Yeah, I love the Don Henley version, but this is one where I think I actually enjoy the cover more than the original. Yeah, odd. Since I Don't Have You, originally by The Shadows, which is Guns N' Roses off of The Spaghetti Incident. It's the very first song. It's like an old 1950s standard, and Guns N' Roses just fucking rocks the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And Heard It From the Grapevine, Marvin Gaye.
Good one.
Yep.
All right.
Are you going five?
No, I did four because Neri's here.
And okay.
He's...
Because, look, I have so many more.
Oh, no, I deleted the other ones on purpose. So my honorable mentions are Nonpoint, In the Air Tonight, Chris Cornell's Billie Jean. I changed Say Ferris because I saw people mentioned it, so I'm going to put Real Big Fish, Take On Me.
Ooh. Wow. Good one.
Good pick. Love that one. And I had Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yeah.
I unfortunately did not prepare for all the people that were on there. So I have a lot of the songs that people said, which was Love Song from 311.
Great song.
Valerie from Amy Winehouse, which is a fantastic song. I also had I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. And then I had Get Lucky. His daughter did a cover of Get Lucky from Daft Punk, and it was actually a really, really good cover. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a more modern one as well.
I have... my honorable mention list looks like a list that Dave would do, with the exception of Fat Guy from the Fat Hawaiian Guy that does Over the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. The rest of my honorable mentions go Alien Ant Farm, Smooth Criminal,
awesome,
that's a great one. American Woman by Lenny Kravitz, mm-hmm, and awesome. Knocking on Heaven's Door by Guns N' Roses.
Not another great one. I like your honorable mention list more than your mouth.
I know you would, because in my mouth I try to change it up and diversify, yeah. And I go, if I'm, these are all the rock ones that I did. And to be honest with you, the Hawaiian song, the Over the Rainbow, I call it Hawaiian song, the Over the Rainbow, the Guns N' Roses, and the Alien Ant Farm are the three that I had in my mind when I went to go look through the list on the internet. I only went to find one more. That's all I went to go do. It's like, okay, I'll find my number four. And I found my overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, well, no, I can't. Okay. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, God, damn. And then I just stopped. Right,
yeah, so. Same thing happened to me. The songs that first popped into my mind, which Ataris was one of them, didn't end up making the mountain.
No.
I had to think a little more about this one.
Number one's David.
My number one, Jeff, now we can talk about this, All Along the Watchtower.
Fan.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, wait, so everybody's just leaving now?
Oh, I'm going to go after you.
Everybody just has to pee now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix is good, guys. No, they all got up to pee.
It's just it's just you and me. All right, let's do this.
Well, all the girls have to go pee together, remember.
In all fairness, I don't know anything about this song, so whatever you say, I'll take your word for it. But I just
or really, you could learn something.
Or it's really, I gotta hear this again from him, Jimi Hendrix again from David. He's amazing. I get it. Hold on, I really gotta pee. I'm not meaning trying to be a jerk. Hold on.
Okay. We could just pause.
He is bounding out of the room. Yeah. I've never seen him move that fast.
But Jesus, yeah, ever. Physically, I didn't think he was able to do that.
That was
and he
incredible.
Fit through that door like
yeah.
Slick.
Wow.
It was like watching Entrapment with a hey.
Just to give you oils for me.
She was sad. Mentioned she was going to, but she didn't.
Did Stephanie do that thing she was supposed to do?
Yes, she did.
Awesome.
Well, remember too, we had the whole thing with Nathan. So.
Yeah, I know, but she told me after that.
Oh. So. Sorry.
She's lucky. She told me she's sleeping.
Sorry.
She told you she was sleeping? She told me
she was going to go to bed.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay. She told you she's sleeping.
Since they all left, do you want to learn about Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower for a number two? All right.
Jump in there.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey.
So hey, his number one and my number two on the covers was Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower.
Uh-huh.
Originally, it was a Bob Dylan song. Hmm. Okay. A year later, Jimi Hendrix did the cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know a cover's good when the original artist says, from now on, I'm going to do it your way. Because that's what happened.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Bob Dylan heard All Along the Watchtower mm-hmm. by Jimi Hendrix and said, you did it better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it my way anymore. And he, every time he played it in concert from that point on, he did it the Jimi Hendrix way.
He did it the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
And if you hear the original All Along the Watchtower, it's good, but... how Hendrix makes that jump from what Dylan did to what he did, it's almost like a completely different song.
Right.
The feel is completely different. I mean, it's a completely different genre, you know? His guitar playing is so inspiring. Because he goes,
I know you are.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, I thought it was because I was I was sucking Jimi Hendrix's dick again.
Eat that cheese, bro.
His guitar playing like runs the gamut of it. Like he does so many different things in that one song, because he does, you know, the Jimi Hendrix soulful, you know, bluesy playing, and then he does this like really cool, like funky thing with the wah wah pedal, you know, wow 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 wow. It's so fucking cool. It's
just like that.
That's what
just
it sounds like.
That's exactly
right,
what
Jeff?
It sounds like.
It is. It does.
I totally hear it.
He
now.
makes his guitar talk with a wah wah pedal and his fingers. Like that's just fucking insane, you know. And
it was ranked Guitar World ranked it the fifth best solo of all time. Guitar solo of all time.
Yeah.
Along the Watchtower, which what he does, it's like Crossroads. What he does with that guitar,
it's art. You know, it transcends music. It transcends guitar. You know, it is. You know, it's one of those things where
it just is. You
hear it and you don't even stop and consider that this is Jimi Hendrix. Like this is just, it's always existed.
Right.
It's always been there. And he just found a way of showing it to you, you know.
Sorry, there's a song about you.
Baloo and Q are having a moment.
And talk about being used in. It's been used in a lot of like Bob Dylan's cover was used in American Beauty,
All right.
But Jimi Hendrix's cover. Thank you, Vanessa.
Bye.
Jimi Hendrix's cover was used in like 7 or 8 movies.
Right.
And it was even referenced at the end of Watchmen in the graphic novel.
Yeah.
So it's like it transcends even music, you know. So I freaking love
you hear those opening chords that bump 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 bump, and it just everything stops, you know, and you get sucked into your radio, you know, or your iPod or whatever the fuck you're listening
your
to
8-track,
right?
You said radio. So old.
Welcome to the radio.
Hey,
we got the new one from Jimi Hendrix.
Make sure that you got new transistor tubes in there because it's going to blow your socks off. I said transistor tubes, and that's not a thing. You either have transistors or you have tubes. Very sorry to the audiophiles out there.
Yeah, we lost 6 listeners.
We had 6 listeners?
I don't think we had, because I'm not going to listen now.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, man, this is...
I'm going to be like, I'm out.
Yeah. Transistors? No.
I was actually torn. Jimi Hendrix was probably always going to be my number one, and I was torn between putting Hey Joe and this
Hey
one.
Joe's awesome.
Hey Joe, you've never heard Hey Joe?
No.
Oh my fucking
God. I've never heard any of these Jimi Hendrix songs.
You know what
I've heard from Jimi Hendrix? Star Spangled Banner.
Nope. I know that for a fact that you've heard a Jimi Hendrix song.
Okay.
Because Hulk Hogan used one of his songs as an entrance.
American Hero?
No, the And I standing next to a mountain and I chop it down with the edge of my head.
I remember Hulk Hogan.
When he came out as NWO.
Hogan. Oh, okay. Right. I didn't know that was a Jimi Hendrix song.
Yeah. Well, now you do.
Now I'm knowing. It's half the battle.
Which the other half is guns and lasers.
Joe. So I didn't know which direction I was going to go
with.
By the
way, G.I. Joe Part 2 doesn't hold up. Go ahead.
No?
Yeah, it didn't hold up the first time.
No, I love that movie. I love the movie. You know what the problem with that movie is? Is the first 10 minutes of that movie. Channing Tatum, not because of Channing Tatum, because I actually like the guy now, but it's because of the super high tech technology thing. You go, oh come on, guys, it's just
I don't remember enough of that. I just remember he dies in the first.
But The Rock was the rest of the movie is really it still holds up. But the first 10 is hard. It's hard.
Okay.
It's hard because it reminds you of Part 1.
I
no, I'm confusing it with Part 1. I'm sorry. Part 1 doesn't hold up. Part 2 is still good.
Again, my statement stays, Part 1 didn't hold up when I first saw it.
Yeah, not good.
I'm not talking to you, David. You action movies. I'm talking to somebody who appreciates a good action movie.
Yeah. No. I appreciate good action movies. Please talk about a good action movie so that we can have a conversation.
This is where I was waiting for this to get to.
Yeah.
No. It's still better than North by Northwest.
That's your number one, right?
That number one.
Okay. No, that's not my number one.
Oh, that's right.
My number two.
That was your number two.
My number one is Johnny Cash Hurt.
Okay.
So good.
Talk about a song
I love that movie. I love that song in The
Punisher.
I was going to say, isn't that the one that they do in...
In Logan, too.
Yeah. Logan.
But yeah. But I think it was in the Thomas Jane Punisher. Wasn't that the song?
I think so.
But it wasn't Johnny Cash that played it. It was
like a cover
else.
Of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the assassin guy that was going after him. I think it was Hurt. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was the last song he recorded.
Jimmy.
It was Johnny Cash. It was a Nine Inch Nails cover. He asked Trent Reznor, "Hey, I really want to do this." Trent Reznor at first was like, "No, I don't want you to make it. I don't want you to make it too mainstream and too like out there." He
Can you
did
keep
it.
Talking on the microphone, please.
Oh, sorry. He did it, and Trent Reznor was blown away. He's like, "That's his song now."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "That's not a Nine Inch Nails song anymore. That's a Johnny Cash song." The video along with the song is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
It's the Logan trailer. Right.
Right, yeah, the Logan trailer.
The video is very similar to the Logan trailer. I'm not that one was real. That one was a joke. No, that one's a real. It was very similar.
You can tell that Mangold took a lot of influence from that.
Well, it's a Western. He took a lot of, you know.
There you go.
Influence.
And it's funny cuz when Nine Inch Nails released it, it lost the Grammy for Rock Song of the Year to You Oughta Know from Alanis Morissette.
Wow.
That's why it didn't win.
Alanis is a rock song, you know.
You ought to know.
I'm sorry. You ought to know is a better song.
I think it's a better song. I don't think it's a better rock song.
I don't think
Alanis Morissette is a rock.
She is.
Oh, okay. She is rock.
Yeah,
she's definitely rock.
Sure.
She's
Jagged Little Pill is one of the greatest albums of all time.
She's also God.
Sure. I don't think she. I think it's rock.
One of the greatest rock albums of all time.
I don't think it's rock.
What would you classify that music as? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe pop. Maybe I don't know. Well, I don't know. It is pop. Pop is just popular music.
No. Pop is popular music.
Pop is just popular music. That's all that's short for. Because you
Metallica
could be a rock.
Is popular. Are they pop?
Yes. Actually, as a matter of fact, they are. If they make Billboard's top, you know, pop list, pop is just popular music. I'm sorry, because at the time, Motown was pop music. Would you consider Motown pop music now? No, now it's its own category. Motown music, it's R&B music. But at the time, stuff like My Girl was considered pop music. So what's the difference?
But My Girl was even poppy for that age. That time of music.
Exactly. It's not considered pop now. My Girl is not considered a pop song now.
You just called Metallica pop. That's all I need to know.
I could care less about everybody downing, shitting on pop music for the sake of pop music because you think of it as bubblegum music.
I'm not saying that. No one here is saying that.
Yes, they are.
No, I categorize things as pop music.
I'm not saying that.
There are popular music is pop music. If it happens to be popular at the time, it's pop music. Now, whether or not there's subgenres or whether or not it's on another genre as well, that's fine. I'm not debating that. I'm not arguing that. But pop music is literally popular music. That's it. That's all that is. So I don't understand when people go.
So Metallica's a pop band.
If it's popular at the time, they haven't been pop since Napster.
Really? Because they just released an album that debuted at number
Friday.
One.
They're coming on Friday. Yeah, to concert.
Yeah. No, I mean you're talking about one of the biggest, that's fine. What?
The Metallica concert. Paul offered me tickets for that,
and you said yes, right?
No. Because you didn't think it was pop. So I said, go fuck yourself. He didn't offer me tickets. Are you fucking kidding me? It's Metallica. You think those tickets didn't go on sale? To me, I'm saying I didn't get them. Anyway, what are you talking about? I'm sorry.
Johnny Cash Hurt. It's just such
like the fact that Jeff totally stood back and was like, I'll wait for you fucking guys.
I'll wait for you guys to finish.
He's going
to
wait for you guys. That's it.
I've gotten used to this already.
I can see it. So, you're just like, and
go yell at each other. it's such a beautiful and deep song. He only changed one lyric, and it was Crown of Shit to Crown of Thorns. Because at that point, he was very into his Christianity. Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash. So that's the only thing he changed. But it's just, it has, it even the meaning of it's still debated, of whether it's somebody that's given up, somebody that's talking about addiction, somebody that's writing their last will and testament. Like, you know, it's somebody that's accepted themselves.
Now, when you say the meaning, and I haven't heard the original, I didn't know that Nine Inch Nails did. I knew that Nine Inch Nails did the original. I just don't listen to that kind of music. So my question is, doesn't he know the meaning of the song?
Johnny Cash?
No.
Oh, Trent Reznor?
Yeah.
He has his meaning of the song, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't...
Because if it's the same lyrics, wouldn't it be the same meaning? Or are you just saying that... I'm asking. I'm really trying to...
No, but think about it. You can have a song where you and I get a totally different experience from what that song's about.
Yeah, we got it from Guilty Feet. Remember that?
Yeah.
Him and I had a totally different experience with Guilty Feet, have gotten the rhythm, and I'm like, I thought it was a breakup song. And like, no, you fucking cheated him.
Careless Whisper?
Careless Whisper.
Yeah.
So it could be a very different, you know, meaning between one person and another. So, you know, because Johnny Cash did go through a lot of drug stuff when, you know, and alcohol. So, you know, but I think did Trent Reznor too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, he's in a rock band. I'm going to go ahead and assume yes on this one.
I think it's probably my number one, my favorite cover song. And I know it's depressing shit,
but it's
beautiful.
I think it's beautiful.
So it's such a beautiful song.
That, like, and again, I'm not knocking Q's pick on Mad Mad World. I listened to, and again, my introduction to the Johnny Cash song was the Logan trailer.
Right.
And I listened to that song after watching the Logan trailer. I'm like, I want to listen to more of the song. And that song, you're right, it is sad, but it's beautiful.
Right.
Sad. Mad Mad World is just, it's not.
It's sad.
It's just sad. And it's not that it's not beautiful. It's just like, fuck, it's so sad.
No, it's sad. Like, it's
so sad.
Yeah.
There's so many comics that are doing this song.
All those comics.
But yeah, so that's my number one.
So originally, I was going to, for nostalgic reasons, my number one was going to be Killing Me Softly, but it was on so many honorable mentions and all of that. And that's just because the time that I grew up listening to the Fugees. So instead, I went with my number one is Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
That's a great song.
Good one.
I haven't heard the song.
I know. I can't believe you.
Sorry. Jesus.
That's another song that I'd put up there with, like, the Johnny Cash Hurt, that it's so melodic and such a beautiful song the way she does it.
She's incredible, though.
Yeah.
She can sing The Phone Book.
And listen, for you to make a Prince song more popular than Prince, because Prince wrote and composed it for one of his other bands.
Who's this Prince guy you're talking about?
I know. I don't know.
Harry.
He's the guy who wrote While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
He goes, Harry. That's perfect. That's such a fucking...
But yeah, I would have to say Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You, is an amazing cover of a song that really became... It was kind of like what ended up happening with Johnny Cash, where, no, that's your song now.
I haven't heard the song.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
I can't believe you. I thought you were pulling my leg with Nothing Compares to You. I thought you were just... That's why I was... Like, I snapped at you. I thought you were pulling my leg, but you never heard Nothing Compares to You.
Maybe I've heard it, I just don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were joking with me, so I was like, ah.
Yes, I know the song.
Yeah.
I know the song. Now I know the song. Wow. What a fucking song. I didn't know it was Sinead O'Connor, and I didn't know it was...
A cover. And that's the only line that she changed. Prince's line was originally 13 days, and she changed it to 15 days, which was off of another song that she did. Well, she was... Yeah, I know. How dare you change, Prince?
That's such a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song.
That is beautiful, beautiful song.
You got me, Q. You got me. I got me in the feels,
video
man.
Is
you
simple
got me the feels.
Yep.
And perfect because you don't need anything else but her beautiful bald head in black screen.
Is she still bald?
Yeah.
I hope
sure.
so.
I think so. I'm pretty sure she is.
I think she actually got tats like on her head.
Oh, no.
That I hope not.
No, Sinead.
Why are you guys judging her?
Because...
Why are you guys judging
her? I mean, no judgment.
Like, if she grew it... No, there was judgment. And
there was a little bit of judgment.
There was judgment.
But it was
personal opinion. Not
yes,
that I'm
she
judging.
She's still... And no, she didn't get any tattoos on her head, but she is still shaved. Head shaved. Yeah, this is her now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, no, it was the chest tattoo. That's
the
what
chest tattoo is
about.
What she did. Yeah, she got a big chest piece. But she looks... amazing still, and that's a fantastic song. Like, there's really nothing to say. It's also very sad and melancholy and all of that, but it does a great job, great delivery.
I agree.
I love that song. I didn't even know that was Sinead O'Connor, and I'm like, oh,
I actually like that song.
Nothing compares to
Sinead. Guys, come on.
So now it's your
Dave, what happened to you? You fucking fell back into your phone.
Sorry.
What happened?
I was doing something.
Is it because of Steph?
No.
Because
of Steph. Well,
because that's what Steph does. She goes into her phone while we're recording a podcast.
She's playing Mario Kart 8 right now.
Oh, really?
She
was so mad that I was winning.
That's why.
That I beat her multiple times.
And Wario, the computer, was beating
her. That's why I stepped out during the newsie. She texted me. She was like, so how do I move this back to handheld? Because Link's watching TV. Like... All right, okay. So I just stepped outside to explain. It's much more than fucking...
Yeah, you know. No, that's not going to work.
That's a beautiful song. My number one is where I get to express my Guatemalan-ness. is a song that I did not know was, again, going back to the well. I didn't know it was a cover until 30 seconds before pressing record. And it's Turn the Beat Around by Gloria Estefan.
Oh, yeah, we did. We talked about this at breakfast, mm-hmm. too.
And I didn't know it, in this song...
Who did the original?
No sé quién.
That requires research.
Ese el tipo que hizo esa cosa, tú sabes.
Yeah, ese mismo persona.
Ese mismo. Who did the original?
I'll look it up. You talk. Yeah,
talk about it.
But it is the... That song is the epitome of my childhood.
Okay, I got it. Sorry. Who? It was Vicky. It was performed by Vicky Sue Robinson in 1976.
Right, esa misma.
From her debut album, Never Gonna Let You Go.
Right.
Never Gonna Let You Go. This song was a disco hit.
Yeah. And forget you. Yeah, I this is the epitome of my childhood, was my household blaring Gloria Estefan, and we're not even Cuban.
Right.
It's ironic. But
she was a phenomenon. I mean,
phenomenon. She was in the 80s.
Not just for Cubans.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
In particular for Cubans, but
Miami Sound Machine was
the sound of freestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the time.
Until Stevie B. Right.
Until what?
Stevie B. The king.
Yeah.
And just because he mows my lawn now doesn't mean that I like him any less.
I'm Darn sure. Girl. Sweat. Sweat.
Man, I... Gloria Estefan... Listen, a lot of people, like, have said, like, negative things about her locally in South Florida or whatever. They've met her or whatever. What she did for music from the Hispanic standpoint, what mm-hmm. she did for women in music, just like Celia Cruz did, just like there's other people that did it before her and there's other people that did it afterwards, but she was in no way, shape, or form to be minimalized in what she did for Miami, for Hispanic people, for everything. And that was the sound of my childhood. That song, Turn the Beat Around, was the gangster's paradise of my childhood. It was the always replaying and replaying and replaying.
That is a very good way of explaining that song.
Yeah. And
the gangster's paradise of my childhood.
Yeah, it is. And gangster's paradise happened in my childhood, but it was like already in high school.
Yeah, it was a little bit different.
As opposed to when I was a kid. And like when I, you know, when you think back and you have memories of your childhood, for some reason it's always in sepia. I don't know why, but it is. And my memories of my childhood, I've said this before on the podcast. My thoughts and memories are always cinematic. I always do them in a cinematic way, like in my mind.
Right.
Like when I remember, I walked into the store. I remember walking into the store as if the camera angles from up high, and I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know. I've never taken a film class, but I fucking watched so many movies that I'm like, this is how I remember my childhood. This is how I remember even stories that happened last week. And whenever I'm retelling a story that happened, there's always a voiceover in the memory. There's a voiceover. Saying,
so your life is stranger than fiction,
pretty much. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah.
When I think about my childhood, if there's music somewhere in the background playing, it is Turn the Beat Around. That's how much I love that song, and I haven't heard it in probably 10 years. But fuck if I don't dance every time I hear it, man.
I love that song.
That song is
and
great.
I will give you a positive Gloria Estefan story. We saw them at Isla Canarias one time,
eating
croquetas.
Eating decent croquetas.
Eating the best croquetas.
Sure.
And it was really late at night, and they had
I want to say recently. It wasn't, they hadn't just done it, but it had been fairly recently done that mural that they have on towards the back of the restaurant.
Okay.
And they had a lot of the local, you know, celebrities and heroes and all that stuff go and sign their part of the mural, and both she and Emilio.
Emilio! Had
been you can't say that name without doing that.
You can't.
No.
They had been invited to go and to, you know, to eat there and to sign their mural. So when we walked in,
I wonder if they gave it to him for free.
I'm sure.
this $5 plate is on us.
We got you.
We got you. Our treat, we got you. Wait, did you order an extra plate of bacon? We're going to have to charge you for that. But the $5 plate of eggs is fine. We got you. That food is so cheap there.
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I love this song.
I still remember her car accident.
Yeah, the bus accident. Yeah.
I can still remember that. And her mother actually was my music teacher in elementary school.
Oh, nice.
She taught at James H. Bright in Hialeah. May she rest in peace, because she just recently passed away. Mm.
That's right, yeah. That's how long ago that was that Gloria Estefan's mom was still working.
Yes.
Yeah.
She had to.
So what happened?
It was really late at night, and the restaurant was basically empty. And we were a rather large party, because it was it was like two or three parts of our family, you know. So it was
everybody
like
else is laughing, by the way, family. To the listeners.
Sorry,
everybody
yeah.
was laughing.
Yeah.
Made me seem like an asshole.
No, I was
laughed.
Laughing, but
everybody
I
was laughing. But
I
they just put their
mic.
Head down. So thanks.
So it was a lot of us, right? And and so when we walk in, you know, we kind of see over there, like. I think that's Gloria and Emilio Estefan. So,
Emilio,
we thought about doing the thing, and then we're like, nah. I mean, if that's not him, then like, you know, they're just trying to fucking have their meal. And if that is him, they're just trying to eat their fucking meal, you know. So we just did our thing or whatever, and then on their way out, Stephanie stopped her, and she was like,
"Your wife?
Yeah, my wife Stephanie. She had met her a couple of times." Prior, because she is really good friends with the son of another local Miami celebrity, and so they had gone to her house a couple of times. But she was really, really young; been many, many years since she'd seen her. And she said, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Stefan. You know, I've met you before, but I want to let you know I'm a huge fan of yours. You're a very big influence for me." She's a singer, you know. So, and she was just the nicest woman that you can ever possibly imagine. It was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they stopped and they had a good 10-minute conversation with us, both her and Emilio. And you know, they were talking about how, you know, they don't come out this way often, but they used to go to the one that they had on 27th all the time because they have the best croquetas. That's per Emilio Estefan.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not Gloria. I don't give a fuck about Emilio. It's all about my Gloria.
So
hey, you see how that backfired on you? Like, based upon, you know, coming from the guy that you don't care about. Okay, cool, man. Whatever. Thanks. Okay.
So yeah, we had like a really. They were very cool, very down to earth, and from everything that Stephanie's told me from the couple times that she was at their house.
The only negative stories I've ever heard about from people is never personal. It's always business related.
Okay.
And it goes back to that phrase of when a man's ruthless in business, he's a right. tough boss. When a mm-hmm. woman does it, she's a bitch. You
right.
know? And I completely concur and agree with, like, I'm like, all right, I get the mentality. But again, since I don't deal, I would never deal, not that I would never, but I can't imagine myself dealing with Gloria Estefan on a business level. Like, what she's done, that even if she's a bitch, let's say she's a bitch in business, it doesn't take away from what she has accomplished.
Mm-hmm. No.
For Miami, for Hispanic
for women.
People, for music,
I can't
for
wait
women
for on your feet.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
The Broadway show.
The Broadway it's show coming. That she's.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
On your feet, it's the Broadway show that's opening at the Arts Center.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's based on
Gloria Estefan. Gloria and Emilio's life.
Well, I'll go there for Gloria's life.
Yeah. You're really gonna stick to this
anti-Emilio stuff.
I don't.
No, it's not anti-Emilio. It's the anti-Islas Croquetas.
Yeah, I don't.
Anything to not make it. You know.
doesn't make anything difference to me. Like, I don't give a fuck if it's The Rock. If The Rock goes, "These are the best cricket I've ever had," I'm like, "I love you. You're wrong, but okay, I love you."
You
like,
would never tell The Rock he's wrong.
In my head, I will say it. In my head, that's not true. In my head,
cinematically, I would tell him you're wrong.
Be like, "I agree."
No, first of all, I've never said that I will not eat or eat la croqueta. That's never.
That is
never.
You have never.
I've never said that. I've ordered them and eat them all the time.
You have said that you will eat their garbage croquetas.
I absolutely would. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
You're
right?
Insane.
You know who wouldn't? My daughter. She really wouldn't. No, I'll eat the croquetas. That's fine. And if The Rock said these are the best croquetas, I would be like, "Yeah, I love you." And then in my head, in the voiceover from the Bronx tape,
you'd hear,
"You're wrong."
He was wrong, but I didn't have the nerve to tell him. Like, that would be the narration of my life. And
I'm so glad you've deluded yourself enough to think that you would even think The Rock could be wrong.
The Rock is? Are you kidding me? Scorpion King? Doom? He's been wrong.
Scorpion King is not bad.
Scorpion King is not that bad. Shut the fuck up.
Okay, I said it's not bad. It's not that bad.
It's Doom.
Because it is bad.
It's Doom level bad. It's the same bad.
It's not Doom level bad.
It's worse.
No.
Because
Scorpion King is better.
I think Sandals and Swords bad is worse than Guns and Spaceship bad.
No.
Okay. There you go. We get it. Your story checks out. You like Sandals and Swords, and you'll take that over, you know.
Those are as few things go together better than Sword and Sandal.
Okay. Sure. Spaceship and Guns.
Pizza and beer.
Pizza and beer. Hot dog and beer.
Titties and beer.
Chicken wings.
Hot dog and Coke. Cold fucking Coke.
Tofu hot dog and Coke.
He's a vegetarian.
Oh, okay. I'm like, tofu, anything.
Oh, pescatarian. Yeah,
oh, okay.
He doesn't care about the feelings of fish.
Yeah.
Fuck those motherfuckers. Fuck the feelings.
I'm glad you finally understand.
Yeah. Or like the oil in the ocean.
They don't have souls like the baby chickens in the omelet.
Yeah, they don't have souls. Oh, he'll eat caviar. He'll eat the baby fish.
No, he ate an omelet.
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Baby chickens. I eat eggs.
Oh, yeah, sure. Baby chickens. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Grown up chickens, he has a problem with, but baby chickens.
Wait, easy. Those baby chickens, yeah. Come on. They don't matter.
But
baby chickens' lives matter.
It's okay. I'm chicken pro-choice. It's fine.
Lord, so,
Jesus. All right. So,
on that note,
Tainted Love makes a mountain for sure.
Tainted Love.
All along the Watchtower.
All along the Watchtower.
Those are the only two.
The only two.
All right. That's a mountain.
That's it.
I mean, I think Sinead O'Connor or Hurt. Should
I'm okay with either of those. I'm also going to throw Aretha Franklin respect out there.
I don't respect that one.
I think out of all the ones that I've put and that we've talked about, I would probably say Hurt.
Yeah, Hurt's probably.
And not because it was my choice, but Sinead O'Connor just because it's.
I'm okay with that. Let's do that.
Or we could hear other people out, you fucking jerk. Jesus. I do like The Hurt. I do like Johnny Cash. I think that would be weird not to have that song. I don't know. Twist and Shout, man. Sorry. That's not my pick. And it's a really good fucking...
I'm okay with that, too.
...cover. Or I Love Rock and Roll, because both of those songs I never knew were covered.
I'm okay with that, too. I am literally okay with everything that was...
Yeah, I think I think that there wasn't, like... I don't think there was a moment that we were like, oh, that song? Really?
Yeah.
Well, because usually you don't cover bad songs.
Right.
Usually you don't pick a shit song and go, huh, okay.
I'm gonna make this shit song shittier.
You know what? That's not true, because a lot of these songs weren't popular until the second person did it.
Exactly.
Joan Jett being one of them.
Yeah.
And Soft Cell.
I don't know if a lot of them were, but some of them were.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Turn the Page would...
Turn the Page. That was a huge hit.
So right now we have, on a mountain, we have All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. We have Tainted Love by Soft Cell. We have Hurt by Johnny Cash. So the fourth one, I Twist and Shout and I Love Rock and Roll.
I'll tell you this. I would probably go I Love Rock and Roll because Twist and Shout, you don't know it's a cover. I didn't know it was a cover.
No, I didn't know I Love Rock and Roll was a cover. But then again, I don't know shit about music. So, I mean, I that doesn't mean take that with a grain of salt.
If we're going to go between those two, I would go I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Because it was your pick.
Three of us said, and he said two.
Yeah.
I'm the one that put it up for debate.
Yeah, so I would probably.
Chance to speak, David. Without that's it. That's the fucking decision right there.
I don't believe I said that's it, but sure, yeah, that's fine. Who knows? I still think that Sinead O'Connor should go on over Joan Jett.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I said doing Joan Jett and Johnny Cash. I mean, Sinead O'Connor and Johnny Cash. I'd be okay with those.
If you're going to tell me now between Sinead O'Connor and Joan Jett, Sinead O'Connor has a better cover than I Love Rock and Roll. I agree. Personally.
Jeff? Yeah. I said Sinead O'Connor from the beginning. Oh, okay. Johnny Cash.
I like Rock and Roll better, but because I'm not a dickhead, I go with, you know, the majority. I don't just go
after which is what disgusting. Which is what I had.
Sure.
It's because you're like,
the fuck is wrong with him today?
We recorded earlier today and it was the same shit.
Oh, it's just been a whole day thing. Yeah. Okay, good. See, it's not just me.
No.
It's you.
It's impossible. Yeah.
It's not me.
It can't be Neri. It can't be Neri. Yeah. It's totally you.
Yeah, it's totally you. Yeah, man. I agree. It is you.
So nothing compares to you, Dave.
Nobody does it better.
So The Mountain is All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix, Tainted Love by Soft Cell, Hurt by Johnny Cash, and Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. So I'm just glad I got a pick in there.
That was
I'll
good.
Pick. I'll tell you what, if Tainted Love wasn't there, I would have said Gloria. I'm not even kidding. I would have said Gloria.
I love the Gloria Estefan one. I wasn't going to push the Gloria Estefan one because I know that's too much Guatemalan-ness for you guys.
What do you mean? I'm going to opening night of On Your Feet just because I fucking love Gloria.
Well, let's be real.
My cousin's playing Gloria, but besides that.
I'm going because I love her and my cousin. So.
But I love Gloria.
Free tickets.
I do love her. Shut up.
I've never met her, and she was on the issue of the New Times when I was one of the quote. Was it
Miami's funniest? Or
no, it was. It's right there.
It was
it's
like nicest person on a dock.
You just saw it.
Yes, I did.
It was like Miami New Times.
Miami New Times. Can we post this picture along with this?
It's on my website.
Can we post article. It somewhere that somebody's watching?
You're gonna go less people? You think more people go listen to
of
this
than not.
Actually my
of course
my,
not. It was a joke,
but
Neri.
It was 30.
I know that you're wonderful.
It was 30. It was I think out. It was a 30 people. The 30 most colorful characters in Miami, or something along like one of those things, whatever. And it was like different characters from different genres, and it was like artists and painters and da da da. And I represented the comedian that they picked that year, and then I was like, hey, who's on the cover? And then they go, Gloria Estefan. I go, who? And then they started laughing, and I was like, whatever. I mean, if you want to give somebody that, whatever, you want to give her the cover or whatever. And I was totally fucking like, I was totally like, I thought I could fucking like angle myself into the fucking like conversation. And then they said Gloria Estefan, and I go, all right, I'm out. I got nothing.
So you're telling me that you defaced a Gloria Estefan
cover
magazine to pull this out? Wow. All right. I mean, thought you had respect for her.
Yeah. To be honest, my wife did that because that was my Christmas present that year. She framed that article.
That's a lovely present.
Because I'm not going to fucking frame an article of myself. Like, hey, this is me. Can you? That'd be a bit embarrassing to take to the framing store. Like, can you get this page?
That's why when
and
I was
wearing the same, I'll be wearing the same outfit with the fucking same.
That's why when I was.
Oh, I'm glad you noticed. Yes, this is me.
Yeah. They took a photo at my school because we have our telescope that we had during eclipse, and I was on the front page, and I totally fucking went to Target and just bought a frame, and I had it in my office.
Oh, but you went to Target. You imagine a framing store.
No, fuck that. That'd be weird and creepy. No way. But all right, so that was our mountain.
That's cool. Our mountain, man. Thank you guys for checking us out. Q, thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah, this was lovely.
Thank you.
I would love to have you back
for
in
sure.
Anytime. So thank you for checking us out. Make sure you check out Q's podcast called The Talking Geek or Morbid Curiosity. There's two separate podcasts. I say and or because you could check out both of them. And then you could check out all the other podcasts on the Geek Bro Network, which include the brand new recently added Comedy Fitness by my friend comedian Don Gray. There's also What's Up Bro, Mamas of Merlot, What's Good, Cosplay Fame, The Shiver, House of Heel, and Zeros on Hero.
I got them all.
So we're like Pokemon. So make sure you guys check that out, geekbro.net. And check out Dave's band called Naked Vengeance, at nakedvengeance.com. And on social media, I think their everything is at Naked Vengeance.
All the stuff is Naked Vengeance.
So thank you for checking us out. And that's how lists are made.
Sounds so soulful, don't you agree? I invent a sweat. Popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Proof. I guess I got my swagger back. Truth. New watch alert. Few blows. Or the big face rollie, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, I maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the holes.
Damn, Easy and Hope, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these niggas, Philip drumming them. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, well I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. Throw your diamonds up, cause we in this bitch another game.
Photo shoot fresh. Looking like wealth, I'm about to call a paparazzi on myself. Live from the Mercer. Run up on Yeezy the wrong way, I might murk it. Flee in the G450, I might surface. Political refugee asylum can be purchased. Everything's for sale. Got 5 passports, I'm never going to jail.
I made Jesus walks, I'm never going to hell. Couture level flow is never going on sale. Luxury rap, the Hermes versus sophisticated ignorance, write my curses in cursive. I get it custom, you a customer. You ain't custom to going through customs. You ain't been nowhere, huh? And all the ladies in the house got them showing out. I'm done, I hit you up, man, yeah.
Welcome to Havana, smoking Cubanos with Castro and Cabanas. Viva Mexico, Cubano, Dominicano, all the plugs that I know. Driving Benzes, with no benefits. Not bad, huh? For some immigrants, build your fences. We digging tunnels. Can't you see we getting money up under you?
Can't you see the private jets flying over you? Maybach bumper stickery, what we're overdue? Jay is chilling, yay is chilling. What more can I say? We killing them. Hold up before we end this campaign. As you can see, we done bodied the damn lanes. Lord, please let them accept the things they can't change. And pray that all of their pain be champagne.